Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
Praise the Lord. How many are ready for a good year? How many are ready for a great year? Good. I think the greater is better than the gooder. Anybody in this house like to be blessed? Let me see. How many like to be blessed? You just assumed that God would bless you this year. Amen. Well, I'm going to talk about blessing, getting blessed this morning. And we're going to take a look at an event that I'm sure that many of you are familiar with in the life of Abraham. So if you will turn to the 22nd chapter of Genesis, you will find my text there. I have good news for you. And that is that the blessings are promised to the redeemed. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14 says, He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I think it's pretty neat the fact that God already has a plan to bless you. It kind of says to me that the main thing that we need to do is to keep from getting in the way of what God wants to do. Huh? I know I have been guilty, I'm sure you have as well, sometimes of, taking paths, making decisions that caused me to miss, if you will, the blessings of the Lord. Am I the only one? Okay. We might as well admit it. I'd like to see, how many are human? Some of you aren't. Cool. There are aliens living among us. We kind of wondered, didn't we? Gene? Okay. Well, I think it's some of the decisions that I made along the way. Knowing what God wanted, but listening to men or listening to circumstances and making those decisions. And I the blessings were this way and I just veered right off this direction here. And then having to stop and say, okay, I've missed the blessings of the Lord. And so then I had to make a very painful turn into the direction of God's blessings. And once I was back on that track, then hallelujah, I got to see all the blessings begin to flow. But as long as I was heading off in this direction, you know, my own direction, my own wisdom and things, oh my goodness, sometimes that's so painful. Can I get a witness? For those of you that are watching online, there were a few that said yes. Listen to the blessings promised to Abraham in Genesis 22. Verse number 16, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sands on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed. Because you obeyed me. Wow. Richard Whatley wrote, It is generally true that all that is required to make men unmindful of what they owe to God for any blessing is that they should receive that blessing often and regularly. Did you follow that? I really think we here in the United States, we need to reckon with how blessed we are. Even on our worst day and in our greatest struggles. If you are looking at all at the conditions in other parts of the world, now I'm not saying that there are not other places that parallel what we have here in the United States in terms of technologies and all of these kinds of things. But my friends, we have like blessings and blessings. I mean, in technology, in, my goodness, in housing, and in food. Praise you, Lord. Huh? Come on. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Because, you see, I don't know about you, but when I was born here into this country and among this people, I didn't have anything to do with it. And really, my parents didn't either, because they were born in this country. And really, their parents were also born in this country. And I think the generation before them was also born into this country. So I come from a long line of people who just fell into the blessings of the Lord. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I think, you know, we need to kind of be awakened to what we already have. And realize that God is going to stack more blessings on top of the blessings that we already have. I hesitate to even say this name, but Tammy Faye Baker, remember her? She used to sing this song, "I'm blessed, I'm 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 blessed." I couldn't even sing it. But that's where we're at. If there's any people on the face of the earth that really know what blessing is, it's those of us who live in this country. My Bible says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And then he goes on, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." You see, the reason why I'm doing this in the awakening portion of this message is because I want you to get on the track of understanding what the blessings of the Lord look like. We are already incredibly blessed. Because see, here's one of the difficulties that we have. God blesses us and we don't even recognize that they're blessings. That's what Whatley was saying. Thomas Jefferson said it in this way: "How little do my countrymen know what a precious blessing or what precious blessings they are in possession of, and which no other people on earth enjoy." That was Thomas Jefferson. We're blessed. We're blessed. Every day of our lives, we're blessed. And we need desperately to reckon and recognize those blessings as they are flowing to us from the Lord. Not just for the ones that we've already received, but when God begins to bless you, you need to recognize them. Francis Bacon said, "Prosperity is the blessing of the Old Testament." You're going to love this. He said, "Prosperity is the blessing of the Old Testament. Adversity is the blessing of the New." Well, we want to leap on that one, don't we? I could, if we had time this morning, I could prove this to you in the Apostle Paul's life, in John's life, in Peter's life. Every one of them gloried in their adversity and their struggles, because as believers, those things came from the enemy, and that put them in the good company of the Lord. Amen. You know what amen means? So let it be. Amen. So let it be in my life, Lord, that when adversity comes, I would not only make it through, but I would be blessed in the midst of the adversity. I would propose this to you this morning, that the blessings from God have always and will always flow from times of testing. Abraham's life is a model that we look to and learn from to know the blessings of God in our lives. See, this is kind of twofold. I want to alert you to God's desire to bless you. I want to show you, if I could, out of Abraham's life, the attributes of a man who is blessed of the Lord. But then prayerfully also to awaken us just a little bit to how blessed we already are. The first attribute of a blessed man is found in Genesis 22:1. Look at it with me. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, "Abraham?" "Here I am," he replied. I love the simplicity of that, but yet the complexity of that. Because, see, the first attribute of a blessed man is availability. Abraham was available to God. Boy, it's quiet in here. If anybody needs to do something in the quiet, this might be a time. God calls out to Abraham, and Abraham responds, "Here I am." In Exodus chapter 3, we read where Moses on the mountain with sheep looks over and sees a burning bush. When he turned his attention into that burning bush, it doesn't say he went over there, it just says he turned his attention in that direction, God called out to him, "Moses, Moses." You see, I am just of the nature to believe that God is still calling our names. He's still calling out to us. He still wants to have conversations with us. He still wants to minister through us. He still wants to use us for His glory and for His praise. That is to say, He's still calling those who are available to Him. Webster, knowing that I needed this, gave me a perfect definition to the word available. Being present and ready for immediate use. Being present and ready for immediate use. When God called out to Abraham, Abraham said, "Here I am. I'm at your disposal. I'm here for you. Whatever you desire, God, I'm listening." It means not only that he heard the voice of the Lord, he knew the voice of the Lord, he responded to the voice of the Lord. You know, many people that are even believers, they're afraid to say yes to the Lord because they're afraid that he's going to ask them to do something they don't want to do. He speaks softly. God doesn't yell. You ever notice that? He speaks softly. And if there are a lot of other voices that you're listening to in your life, you may not hear his voice. You say, "Well, God never talks to me." No, you never listen to him. There's a huge difference. You say, "God never talks to me." No. It'd be like saying, "Sharon never talks to me." Sure she does. But after 48 years, sometimes I just don't hear her. It's true. And you know, I find that the longer that you walk with the Lord, if you aren't tuned in, I mean tuned into His voice, He'll speak. You just don't hear Him. It's not that He's not calling. It is not that He doesn't want to speak into your life. It is simply that there are so many other voices and so many other things that have our attention that we can't hear Him. Moses said, "Here I am." Abraham said, "Here I am." Isaiah, "Who will go? Who can we send?" Here I am. Isn't that what he said? Send me. You look at all of the men who accomplished grand and glorious things. In the scripture, all of them, God called, and they said, here I am. Now, some followed it up. Even Moses himself, when God told him what he wanted, God said, or Moses said, I'm not sure, God. And he and God had to have a little bit of a conversation, but they were in conversation, and guess who won? Did Moses go and free the people of Israel? It was because he was available to God, and he wasn't going to run against God. Somebody by the name of Jonah tried that. Huh? How many know the story of Jonah? End up going fishing. I don't recommend that to you fishermen. Fishing from the inside of the fish. Yuck. What a lesson. And then, you know what? Sometimes God will even have you do things that you don't want to do. But see, what he knows is that if we are available to him, if we make ourselves available to him, he will use us in the way that he wants to use us, and we will be blessed. We learn this availability thing in Abraham's life, actually from back in Genesis chapter 12, when God was calling him. And he said, Abraham, I want you to go to a place I will tell you. And Abraham packed up his things and he started moving in the direction that God wanted him to go. This is the difficult of this. This is the difficulty in what I'm telling you this morning, and that is that God will not give you all the details at the beginning. He will look for your availability. He will call you out, and he will give you enough detail to get you started. We'll talk a little bit more about this in a moment. This has always been God's way. He calls. Smart men answer. And women. God dispatches without much information. Man goes, God provides, and God blesses. You think if Abraham would have stayed in Ur of the Chaldees, he would have experienced the same blessings of the Lord? No. It was because he was willing to go. And then God even tested him beyond that. We hate the tests of the Lord. Can I get an amen there? But I want you to see, and I want you to realize, that there are blessings on the other side of those times of testing. Look at verse number 2, if you would. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. Now just pause there for a moment. How many of you have kids? Uh-huh. Okay, put yourself in Abraham's shoes. Those of you that are watching online, same thing. Put yourself in Abraham's shoes there. I'll read it one more time. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. I don't know about you, but and I followed God for a lifetime, but he's never breached that divide. But look at verse 3. Early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. Wow. I have to say to you this morning that I love God and I've followed him for a whole lifetime, but I would have probably had to hit the pause button to have said, Lord, is this really you? I just want to show you this morning just how available that Abraham was, but also that second trait of blessing, the attribute of a blessed man is obedience. And how far does obedience go? You see, it's going to be different in every life. What God asks of me, he will probably never ask of you. So we cannot really have a parallel going of our obedience. Same way that what God asked of Abraham, I cannot line up to that in my life because God and I are not on that track. You see, Abraham had already been tested of the Lord. And he had already been proven, if you will, that he was obedient to God. Because see, when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90, the angel of the Lord came and told him, a dispatch from God, and said, you're going to have a son. Now that was one time that he did kind of pause and question. I'm old and she's old. How is this possible? That's when God said to him what he had said to Moses. Nothing is impossible with God. Boy, we need to learn that one as we're stepping out in obedience. She laughed. This can't even be a possibility. But God blessed them with Isaac. You see what I'm saying? In other words, God will take us on a progression of obedience and action in him. He won't just dump the big thing over onto you, but rather he will walk you through small times of testing to know that you are ready for the bigger things. Now, those of us that have the New Testament know it a little bit. We know that the very hillside that the Lord that God told Abraham to sacrifice his son was Mount Moriah, which is the place where the temple would be built. So we need to understand that God was doing bigger things than what Abraham could ever see or know. And that's going to be true in our lives. But God, why? Why do you want me to do this? Why do you want me to do this? May never tell you. The test will be, will you be obedient? Will you be obedient? Boy, this is so individual, isn't it? It's so individual because, see, God is building us as believers. He's building us and building in us the ability for him to be able to use us in greater and greater and greater ways. How often we stop the progress of God's blessing and usefulness of our lives in his kingdom by saying, no, that's too far. I can't do that. Won't do that. God says, just stay available to me. Be obedient to what I ask of you. Don't do more. You know, what if Abraham would have taken it upon himself and said, well, why, there's no sense in us going all the way to Mount Moriah. Let's just do this thing here. Get the wood, pile it up. I'll put my son on it and I'll kill him right here. Huh? chances are he'd have killed Isaac. See, we don't like to think about those things. It's like these characters in the Bible are some kind of supernatural people and supernatural characters that never do anything wrong. But Abraham was guilty of doing wrong. Just ask Sarah. Huh? He'd go into a place, he was afraid they were going to kill him, and so he told them that she's my sister. And often she was led off, twice, led off. And the Lord protected her. So, you know, he wasn't unaccustomed to doing things wrong. Just want you to realize that. But in these occasions where he did what God wanted, God had a provision of blessing that I'm sure blessed Isaac. How many think that Isaac was blessed by God's provision? Yeah. It is not enough to simply hear the voice of the Lord. We must act upon what we hear. 1 Samuel 15:22, Samuel said, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice." Striking out there, doing it our own way, maybe, well, I'm doing this, it's even greater. You know, the Lord tells you, speaks to your heart and says, give $100 to this person over here. And you say, well, you know, that's not really convenient for me, Lord, but what I'll do is I'll put $200 into the offering plate. Where's the blessing? The blessing's in the $100 given to the person that God told you. Come on. If you put $1,000 into the offering plate, but God told you to give it to that individual. I know this is contrary to everything you know about preachers. We're asking always, but put it in the offering plate. But honestly, I want you to give as the Lord purposes in your heart to give. Because see, if you learn that, then there will always be sufficient in the house. Come on, church. Isn't that true? If we all live and walk and move in obedience to the Lord in everything that we do, then there will be enough provision in God's house. Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. This is getting serious. Matthew 7:24, therefore everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. Folks, these are both logos and rhema words of the Lord. That is his written, his established word, and that word of his Spirit that he is speaking into our lives. Both are relevant to us and to our success and to our blessing. What you will find is that the Word of God will lay the foundation and give you the basics and give you what you need in living your life, but the Holy Spirit will come down to the specifics of how you need to act and how you need to perform and where you need to go and what you need to speak. And if you will develop a relationship with the Lord and hear his voice when he's calling out to you, because listen, he won't always say your name, Michelle. He won't always say your name, Kay. Sometimes he will just speak softly inside of you and say, go give them a word of encouragement. Now, if you're available to the Lord, you just start moving in their direction. If you haven't decided your obedience and your availability to the Lord, you start questioning, well, Lord, what am I supposed to say when I go there? And then you hear nothing. Because, see, he's already given you the instruction. Go encourage them. But what will I say? That's his problem. The same one who said go is the same one who will tell you what to say when you get there. Again, see, you know, our test, you say, well, you know, Lord's never called me to sacrifice one of my kids. No, but he has called you to sacrifice some of your time. He's called you to sacrifice some of your energy. He's called you to put your personality onto the altar of sacrifice. He said, it's just not me. Well, so what? Come on. God wants to use you. God wants to expand you. God wants to make you more than you will ever be on your own. He wants to manifest His presence so that when you do step out and you do go, you make yourself available, you're obedient to Him. You say, well, I don't know what I'm going to say when I go and talk to her, but I'm going to go on over there. I'm going to, you know, the Lord told me to, so Lord, here, you know, I'm going. And you walk up there and you say, you know, I just want to encourage you today. And all of a sudden you start saying some things and that person says, oh, thank you so much. Said, I've just been crushed today. I've been so depressed. I've been struggling so. And just the fact that you came over and was willing to speak into my life has been such encouragement to me. Thank you. And maybe they hug your neck even in COVID. And they hug your neck and they say, thank you so very much. I guarantee you, you will walk away and you will go, wow. Wow. Wow, God. Because see, on the other side of availability and obedience from the Lord, there's blessing. And God, you see, has the blessing prepared. He's ready to bless you if you are willing to be available to Him and to be obedient. Let me give you the third one. I can't wait. Verse number 8. Actually, I'm going to back up to verse number 7. Isaac spoke up, said to his father, Abraham, Father, you. Yes, my son. I noticed that the fire and the wood are here. But where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Listen to what Abraham said. God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. And when they reached the place that God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it, and he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Oh, my goodness. Come on, parents. I don't know about you, man. I can feel that. I mean, about the time that he grabbed hold of Isaac and bound his hands behind him, said to the servants, give me a hand here, and they picked him up and laid him on that wood. You see, up until that point in time, this thing was just between him and God. But now all of a sudden, Isaac just got involved. Don't you know that Isaac, being human, he would have been thinking, what in the world is Dad doing? There's a good possibility that there are some words in between the lines, between, what, verses 8 and 9. Words like, oh! Ah! What are you doing? Then when he's laid up across the wood and his dad picks up the knife and gets ready to plunge it into him, there would have been no question about what he was doing. This was not only Abraham's day of trial, this was Isaac's day of trial. Huh? Let me tell you something. Sometimes, folks, our kids, you know, as we step off in obedience to the Lord, our kids may be affected along the way. Trust the Lord. What did Abraham said? The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. You see, the third attribute is faith. Faith. Talk about it a whole lot. It's not just this thing that's down inside of you, some place where you believe in God. It's more than that. It is and needs to be the driving force of a believer's life. Do you believe God today? I mean, the part of belief that says, I trust you, God. You see, that's what Abraham was expressing to his son. Even as he was being obedient, tying him up, putting him on the altar, and the whole world, Abraham was expressing that faith that God said would be attributed to him as righteousness. He trusted that God was going to work it out. I wish it would do us all great benefit. I wish that we had some of Abraham's thoughts, you know, like kind of in parentheses there, of actually what Abraham was thinking. Maybe he was thinking, well, if I kill him, the Lord will bring him back to life. Or maybe his hope was that the angel of the Lord would do just what he did in stopping his hand. But you see, he couldn't go on down that path. The only thing he could do was make himself available and be obedient to the Lord and trust and have faith in God, that God was going to work it out. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've been there so many times in my life where I could not see what was going to happen as a result of being obedient to the Lord. But I can tell you, every single time in my 68 years that I have done what God wanted me to do, God blessed. Phew. God blessed. It's teaching me. My humanity still wants to buck. My humanity still wants to question. But God is teaching me. I have to admit to you this morning that in my life, this seems to be an impossible situation. Way beyond me. I do not think I could take one of my boys and strap his hands behind his back and put him on an altar of sacrifice and stand there and get ready to plunge a knife into him. But that's not my track. My track is listening to the Lord and based upon everything that he and I have walked through in days gone by to build upon that faith upon faith upon faith and trust him that the next time that he says to me, go, do, be, whatever, that I am available to him, I am obedient to him, and that I trust him. Why? Because, friends, there's blessing on the other side. When that angel called out, I can't help but think that Isaac heard the angel too. I can't prove that. But when the angel spoke and stayed the hand of Abraham, just in my humanity, I want to believe that Isaac heard that voice. Abraham! Available. I don't think for a second and a half that Abraham had any problem answering that voice. Getting ready to plunge the knife into his only son, and God, that same voice that called him out of Ur of the Chaldees, that same voice that said, take your son up onto Mount Moriah and put him on an altar and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering for me. The same one who was obedient and believed that God was going to provide when the angel of the Lord said, Abraham, Abraham. I don't think Abraham had to think at all. Yes. Do not harm the boy. And Abraham looks up and there is a lamb God had provided. The Lamb of God. See, you may not know God like this, but I can tell you this. That lamb didn't even have to be there when they walked up. That lamb didn't even have to exist on earth before they walked up. This is the kind of God that we serve. That lamb was there when it was needed, caught in the thicket. And was there, the Lamb of God, prepared, maybe from the foundation of the world, to be put upon that altar of sacrifice and offered up as an aroma, praising aroma to God. as a burnt offering. Imagine with me for a moment as Abraham untied his son and took him off, and the two of them pulled that lamb out of the thicket and then put that lamb up onto that altar and cut its throat so that the blood poured out of it. And they put it up on top of that wood and then stood there and watched as that sacrifice burnt and the flames and the smell and the smoke went up before the Lord. I pictured in my mind that Abraham had his arm up around his son. I pictured in my mind that there were tears flowing both of their cheeks as they were reckoning with what God had just done. Little did they know that that was a type of what God himself was going to do on that mountain some thousand years later. Because God did not withhold his hand, but allowed his son to be slain for your sins and my sins. I'm thankful this morning that Jesus was available. I'm thankful that he was obedient. What did Paul say? He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Listen to the blessing. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue confess. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Listen to the glory. To the glory of the Father. And then I go back in the book and I read that message to the churches and the promise that the Lord gives. He says, to those who overcome, I'll give them a new name. That only they and the Father know. Oh, I can tell you this morning that on the other side of availability, on the other side of obedience, and on the other side of trusting faith, there is blessings. But you really won't know what I'm talking about until you say yes to the Lord. But here's the confidence that I have this morning, church. To those of you here in this sanctuary, and to those of you that are watching online, you give God a chance with your life, and he will bless you with spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus, with heavenly blessings that are beyond anything that we could ever imagine, and with blessings even in this life that exceed anything that we could ever do ourselves. Begin to listen for the voice of the word of the Lord. Would you bow your heads with me for a moment? I believe that the Lord has drawn me to this message this morning because he has been calling to some of you. He's looking for your availability. Now, this is strictly between you and him. I'm just here. But you know that the Lord is calling to you. You may think that God was already done with you. Maybe you're of an age and you think, okay, it's done. God uses young men, young women. But the Lord still has something for you to do. Never forget that Abraham would have been about 120 years old, probably at this time. Moses was 80 when God found new ministry, the greatest ministry of their lives. This morning, if you have drawn lines in your life and God is having difficulty getting your attention, and perhaps you would realize, listen, there's blessings for me and for my family on the other side of obedience and faith and trust in God. And maybe this morning you would just like, in a very tangible way, to express to God, Lord, I'm available. Call my name. I'll be obedient to you. And I will believe that you will provide.